As we look at what I entitled the sermon for today, Finding the Balance in the Ministry, in the Life of Ministry, that's something I titled at the beginning of the week, and that meaning kind of changed as the week progressed, especially in lieu of the events down in Charlottesville yesterday and Friday. But as we look at this Gospel of Matthew, Jesus inviting the disciples into the boat and then inviting them back in the water, it calls us to look at ourselves, look at our lives, and ask ourselves, are we finding that balance? Are we recognizing that need for self-care that Jesus so evidently recognized? So the disciples here are learning about self-care. They're learning about going out as disciples. They're learning what it means to be the church. And through the summer, I think we've all come to love Thomas Long. And so I want to start my message today with what his idea of the church looks like, because it's very different than any other group of people. And it's also kind of different than what we typically imagine the church to look like. Thomas Long says, unlike a bowling league or the Coalition to Save Historic Buildings, the church is not a group of like-minded people who, on their own initiative, rally around a common desire or worthy cause. The church, rather, is a particular people called by God and sent into a dangerous sea. Were it not for the authoritative command of Christ, no one would volunteer to climb into that boat. So, as we think about that, we started our worship today with the call to worship. We sing songs, we pass the peace of Christ, and thank you for those of you who so courageously chose to sit in different seats. Those are different things that we do and that we practice on a weekly basis, accepting that invitation to enter into the boat like Jesus invited the disciples to do. What are we supposed to do once we are here in the boat? Once we have decided to step away from the crowd, step away from the busyness and the craziness of our daily lives, what is that supposed to look like? I want to try another exercise with you guys today, if that's okay. I am going to invite you to close your eyes, and I'm going to re-share the narrative. I'm going to re-share the gospel with you. Except I invite you to put yourself in the place of the disciples. I really want you to go back to the emotions that they might have been feeling, the things that might have been going through their mind. And if you so choose, when I ask you questions, please feel free to just say those things out loud. Say the things in your heart that you feel the disciples may have been feeling in that particular moment. So if you can join me, please close your eyes. As we journey back 2,000 years ago, you are one of the disciples. It's been a very long day, and you are extremely tired from helping the other disciples manage the crowd as Jesus was sharing gospels with them. You're still kind of in awe as you just witnessed the feeding of over 5,000 people. First, Jesus told you to go and find food, and all you could find was a couple loaves of bread and some fish. And Jesus was able to feed the entire crowd with that food. Who is this Jesus that he has the ability to feed such a huge crowd with just a couple of loaves and a couple of fish? What a long day it has been. You are tired and just completely ready to fall over for a nap. And now Jesus is making you work again. He's telling you and the other disciples to get on a boat and travel to the other side of the shore. Jesus said he needed some time to pray by himself. What kind of emotions are you feeling right now? How do you feel about what Jesus just said?
I'm going to ask why.
Just ask, confused.
Disciples, how do you feel about having to get on this boat right now?
Angry. We just had a long day and
out more work. I probably just followed the other disciples and want to talk about you again.
Disciples, as you are on this boat, the storm picks up. You are pretty far from the land now, and you can feel the boat being battered by the waves. How does that make you feel? You are now Peter. And as you embrace these emotions of being out in the storm, you suddenly see this figure walking on the water towards your boat. Is it a ghost? You can't quite tell what it is, but you know that you are terrified. The goosebumps start spreading up your arms, and you look around at the other disciples and shout, "It's a ghost!" A surprising response comes from this figure walking towards you as you faintly hear, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Now, Peter, you know your Torah well, and you've heard that saying before. I am. It is me. That's what God said to Moses at the burning bush. Could it be? Is this Jesus walking on the water towards you? You know he has done some really crazy things lately, but this? Peter, you've recognized this connection to the Torah, and you're pretty sure it's Jesus. But to be sure, you ask him to command you to walk on the water. Surely, if this is Jesus, he would be able to have you walk on the water with him, right? What are you feeling now as this figure invites you into the water with a bold come?
Empowered.
You can open your eyes now. We have accepted as a congregation and as Christians and as a church to enter into that boat as we come to worship on a weekly basis. And Peter has also accepted that invitation, and now he's, as we know, preparing to step out into the water, step out of the boat into the storm and into faith. So, at the most basic, we're going to look at this and the symbolic things that we have in place here. And the first symbolic thing is the boat. And I think we've established by now that the boat equals the church, that when we come to worship, we are accepting that invitation into the boat. It's a place of comfort. It's a way to escape from the reality of the world around us, to be in fellowship with each other, to comfort each other, and to rejuvenate ourselves in relationship with Christ. It's a beautiful thing to be in that boat, in the comfort of this place. The second thing, then, is the sea, and that is the society and the world around us with all of the craziness that that brings. When we look at Peter and why he starts to sink, it's because he loses sight of who that voice was and who he was following. He gets distracted by the winds and the waves, and he allows that to pull him into the water. And how often do we let that happen in our society? I really struggled with what to say today in regards to the events of this weekend. And as we think about what happened in Charlottesville with the rioting and all of that, how that is a storm in our society today, and how are we responding as a community, as a church? And that's just one example. We can look at North Korea. We can look at all of these different things. And how are we able to rise above and walk on the storm opposed to letting it pull us down? The third one is the figure, which we know to be Jesus, and how humbling that is and how empowering it is to know that Jesus walks above that storm, that he gives us the strength that we need to walk with him in that place. I want to look at a personal story from the congregation of a time when we embraced the boat. 12 years ago, Emmanuel was very much in the boat. We were sailing across, wading in the water, just going to the other side of the shore. But Emmanuel heard a voice that called them from the comfort and safety of the boat out into the water and into the unknown of what the storm could hold for us. And that invitation I'm referring to is what we know as the Joyful Journey Ministries. Our congregation, much like Peter, made the choice to step outside of the boat into the unknown and support something on the other side of the world that we knew basically nothing about at that time. We made the choice to be bold, and we made the choice to trust in God that this is what our call to action was, that we could follow that voice to a deeper sense of ministry. And as I was scrolling around through Facebook yesterday, I saw this quote and couldn't help but think that this is what our church is doing here. Churches that become passionate about people outside of their walls will be far more effective than churches that are passionate about keeping the few people they have inside their walls. And so we are a very mission-focused congregation, and that's one of the things I absolutely love about this church. That we focus outside of the walls. But the thing about this story is that it calls us to find that balance in life. That just as we are invited out of the boat, Jesus initially told them to get in the boat first. He told them to get into the boat because Jesus recognizes the importance of self-care. He recognizes the importance of coming together as a community and being in a space together. What was Peter learning when he got onto the boat? When Peter got onto the boat in verse 29, we're given a picture of what discipleship is all about. And the first thing that we learn about being a disciple is that we are called to obey Jesus. We are called to hear that voice that Jesus is calling out to us while we are in the storm. And then hearing that voice, we are called to action. And that is following Jesus out into the storm. The second thing from that is sharing the fullness of his life in ministry. Peter accepts that call, and he walks on the water together and embracing the mystery that that life has to offer. And from that, we are called to move with Jesus confidently, even in the teeth of the storm. Even if we are walking blindly and we don't recognize the figure leading us. So this is the picture of discipleship that is being painted for us. And from that, we as a congregation can choose to follow in three separate ways. These are the three different kinds of churches that I've seen. The first one is an inward-focused church. And these congregations focus too much on self-care. They see the invitation from Christ to enter into the boat, to step away from the crowd and the forces of the waves in society, but once they are in the boat, they forget to come back out. They forget that they are called back out of the boat, and so they spend too much time inward-focused. The second one is an outward-focused church, and yes, that can be a problem too, because their main focus is solely on evangelism or working with the crowds, that they forget that it's okay to come back into the boat. It's okay to just breathe for a minute, and it's okay to rejuvenate your soul and be in community with each other. And the third option, my favorite option, is the balanced life in ministry in the church. Recognizing that Jesus called them to step into that boat, that they could step away from the crowds and be in fellowship with each other, and that it could allow Jesus the space that he needed to be in prayer. But when the disciples had that time for self-care, that they were able to then hear Jesus' voice and go back into the storm. So then we need to ask ourselves what kind of church that we want to be, or what kind of individuals we want to be. We need to strive for that balance, that we come to worship on a weekly basis, but what happens when we leave these four walls? What happens when we leave today and go back into the storm? As I read with the kids during the children's sermon, Oh, the Places You'll Go, that's one of my favorite books, and it just paints such a great picture of the life that we live, that sometimes there are exciting things, sometimes there are scary things, sometimes you feel like you are by yourself. But whether you are in the boat or you are walking in the water out into the storm, if we remember that Jesus is the one that's calling us, Jesus is the one that's leading us to these places, that we truly aren't alone. So take the time that you need to rejuvenate in this boat. Rejuvenate your souls and be in community with each other. But then think about what your steps are going to be as you move forward out into the storm. And as I started with Thomas Long, I want to end with Thomas Long, because he has the perfect mission for us. He says, "Indeed, the image of the discipleship in the boat with Jesus on a tranquil sea, worshiping and confessing their faith, may well reflect the church of the Lord's day at Sabbath rest. But Sunday is not the only day of the week, and the church does not exist to float around in a Sabbath sea all by itself, praising Jesus." So think about that as you move forward, as we worship together, and as you go back into the storm of the world. I pray that you have peace, and I pray that you can hold your head above the water as you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Please pray with me.